The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for Time.
They're the title track to the brand new record, Sanctified, and as luck would have it, they're here, kids.
Sanctified.
Yes. Mandy and Sturgis are here from Low Society. Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Hey, hi, Rick.
Hey, hey.
Glad to have you in, man. It's been a while.
It has.
Nice to be back.
It is good to have y'all here. Man, I'm digging the record, man.
Well, you were the first one to hear it.
I got to hear the unmastered
final mix.
Yeah, you came down here with it, and you and I sat down here and we listened to it, and I was blown away by it. And then, of course, mastering really, you know, really just does what it does. You know, makes it pretty and nice. Yeah. But yeah, when we saw it and got the actual physical copy, and the wife and I unwrapped it. It was like, oh yeah, we know these people. So yeah,
mastering being the alchemy that it is, mystical art of mastering.
Yeah. Okay. there's a waving of a wand.
And I've worked with some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
I have. I've been at mastering sessions with Greg Calbi at Sterling Sound. George Marino. Legendary names in the business. And this album was mastered right here in Memphis by Mr. Gabri Waddell at Stonebridge Mastering.
Yes.
And let me tell you something.
Yes.
This guy is world class.
Really?
Yeah.
World class. He's one of the most respected guys in the industry right now. And he's right here in Memphis, folks. So any of you Memphis people making records out there, Gabri Waddell at Stonebridge is the way to go. He did a fabulous job for us.
I've heard a lot of great stuff about Stonebridge, you know, from other musicians too. And and nobody's ever had a bad thing to say about it. It's reasonable. He does a great job. You know,
he's very passionate. Yeah, he takes his time. He's still, you know, in love with the art. You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, yeah, because it's, you know, a mastering engineer is a whole. That's a whole different engineer, man. That's a whole different thing, man.
Anybody that goes onto Craigslist and thinks that they're going to get their CD mastered for $20 an hour, you know what? You get what you deserve.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say to you.
He just runs a little EQ, a little normalization, and away you go.
Anyone can buy software.
Oh, sure.
You think that's great until you listen to a real album, and then you're like, oh.
You hear them side by side, yes.
Yeah.
Because we get, we get so much music from all over the world, and it's fascinating to hear the differences.
Well, it runs the gamut.
And textures, and it's like, okay, this is one that they've actually spent money on, and this one not so much, you know. So,
well, you know, the guys that actually know what they're doing happen to own tens of thousands of dollars of very specialized equipment.
Oh, yeah.
Mastering is not a software-based thing.
No.
You've got to have the right speakers. And let me tell you, a pair of those speakers, you're talking $5,000 just for the speakers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Mastering compressors, very expensive.
Oh, sure.
And the ears that go with it. And probably the ears are the most important.
You can't buy those.
The most important element. Those guys have golden ears. They do.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just the hardware alone. I mean, you can spend nearly $500,000 just to build a proper studio and make it right, you know. But, hell yeah, I'm glad y'all found somebody here in town that was, that's worth it. And yeah, it's a name that doesn't come up often, but when it does, it's always good. So Stonebridge is the place to go.
Well, you know, Larry Nix did our last album,
You
Can't Keep a Good Woman Down.
Yeah.
And those guys are masters, of course.
Absolutely, but Larry retired.
They moved away.
And B, they moved away.
Yeah, down in Florida,
So I was kind of flummoxed when it came time to do this, and thanks to our good pal Will Danger.
Yes.
Yeah, who knows Gabri well and has worked with him. We ended up over there and couldn't be happier.
Will's been doing a bunch of stuff in and around here, down in our room. Yeah,
he's awesome. We love him.
Yeah,
Will is going the independent route at the moment.
Yeah, he's figuring out how to, you know, offer his services from studio to studio to studio, which is really that's how you got to make your money these
days.
You know, you can't just be a hired gun in one spot. You know, you got to pick up and, you know, go to Muscle Shoals or go to Nashville or here or wherever. So
doing a great thing out of his house too. He's getting his set up right and doing some really great work just out of his living room, even. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's a busy guy. As he goes, man, I got kids to feed.
Speaking of which, he's
went on the way.
An expecting new dad.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah, number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he gets to use the plural.
So we need to support him in this endeavor.
Make a little more money for him.
That's
right.
The babies. Absolutely. He and I are such a crackerjack team that actually we've been hired to produce an album by a Belgian group called the Raw Blues Experience.
Oh, yeah.
So to speak, not really producing because they're doing the tracking over there and sending it all to me. And I'm, you know, basically we're going to mix it and put, you know, my little special bells and whistles on it.
Right on.
But yeah, me and Will are going to do that.
Well, that's cool that you're dabbling into a little bit more of that, you know, behind the board work, as it were. Because that is also a lot. That's an art.
It's the other band of our European rhythm section, Jackie and Bart. It's their band.
Oh, it's their band.
Yeah.
And quite a good band it is too.
Yeah, you guys are the only ones we know that have a North American touring wing, and then you've got a European wing.
Yeah, we left it over there, man.
You got a crew.
It's like the
Ringling Circus. There's
wait
the A
until
Circus.
I come
and B
up
circus.
With the Southeast Asian wing.
It's a large family of society. Many are included.
Oh, you sure. Know? You know, we'll show it. Wherever you go, there's a rhythm section, man. That's the best way to do it. You don't have to be schlepping drums and bass rigs around. You know,
it's a beautiful thing. You know, and as poor people, if you want to go on vacation, you just have to move to the city and just be there for a few years.
Sure, that's kind of how that is.
We got people all over this country. You know?
Well, I'm not ashamed to say that if I had my druthers, I wouldn't even play a show without Jackie and Bart. Those guys are fantastic.
Oh my God, they're so good. Yeah. Can't wait to go play with them.
Too expensive to bring them here, you know. If I could, I would.
Well, they're the ones that you hear on this album.
That's right.
Yes. That's
right. And yeah, and it is low society. There's no doubt about it. And it's a great vibe. Y'all did. I'm trying to understand how you did this record. So you recorded them over there while you were there, and then you just laid some scratch tracks down just to kind of give yourself some reference to work with when you brought it back, or you did...
Vocal scratch tracks.
Vocal scratch, but you laid your stuff down there, too.
Well...
Kind of?
The basic rhythm tracks,
You've been in the studio with me. So
I know how you work,
I'm just a fool.
But that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around. It's like all of a sudden you became rather reasonable in the studio.
Right. He had to lay down the...
Listen,
yes.
Here's what happened. We went into this unbelievably great studio in Roeselare, Belgium.
Yeah.
Called Closed Session Recording. And the engineer's name is Christoph Mays. And it was such a hurried and rushed affair.
Uh-huh.
One day. And one day only. Yeah, one day.
Oh, God.
And I set up the guitar amp.
12 hours.
About 15 feet away from the drum kit. And then neglected to put baffles around it.
Oh, no.
You know what that means, right?
Snare rattle?
No.
That guitar lead. Will always be in the drums.
Yeah.
Microphone.
When we got back here and went to work on it, there was some stuff that I'm like, well, you know, I really should replace that guitar. So, yeah, we turned the faders down on the guitar, but lo and behold,
there they were.
Heard it loud and clear through the bass drum mic, the snare mic. Yes. So, what you're hearing is
that
the guitar
that day. Yeah.
So, the guitar, bass, and drums are basically live.
Yeah.
I overdubbed some extra guitar. And Mandy's vocals, yes, we did scratch vocals there. And we really took our time here, and Mandy had the luxury of.
A real studio experience, stretched out as long as we needed.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, over there at American, yeah.
Yeah, like really feel good about everything before you're done, you know.
Well, that's cool, you know. Yeah. And that room has got such a neat vibe to it.
We set up a cot in the vocal booth.
Yeah.
She basically slept in there for 2 months.
Yeah. It was awesome, it was. Because that day in Roeselare, we had played like, I don't know, 4 or 5 shows in a row, and I was... I mean, at the beginning of the day,
she was croaking. She was croaking.
That day, it was like this, you know. But I had to keep the time and put the markers there. And my God, I hope they burned those tapes.
No, I've got every file. You know, I've got every file going.
He's
going
to hang on to everything.
Yeah,
it's going to come out of the Low Society blooper reel.
Child, please be sure I'm dead.
I've got archives, baby.
So this one, this record, I know this was the one that you really wanted to make. You had your eyes on this thing for a long, long time.
It was overdue.
And it was overdue.
It was overdue.
And nothing against the previous record. It's a fine, fine collection of tunes there. But this is different. This is a little bit of a departure for you guys.
This is almost kind of like, I mean, some of it, we, you know, one of the songs, River of Tears, we wrote like the day before, like wrote that day, taught the guys on the spot in the studio that day.
Right.
Had never played it live before or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of it was like that, but some of it was kind of stuff that was just still in us that needed to get out, You know, we've got it all out now. So now we're starting over afresh, mm-hmm. already working on brand new material. Going back to that crazy, you know, how we really are, you know. This album definitely showed a different side of us. And we kind of felt as a musical overall statement that needed to be shown, you know, especially since so many people are put off by how we're... You can't really define us. You can't put us in a box. You know, we're a little rock and roll. We're a little country. We're a little rock and roll. You know, I mean,
they'll get over it.
But ultimately, it's a blues statement.
Yes, you know, the full body of work.
It's a blues statement, and it certainly has been accepted by certain corners of the blues world wholeheartedly.
I have seen very good reviews on this record too, and I mean, when people are throwing around the words, this is an essential collection.
Yeah.
You take notice of that, you know.
It's such an honor, It's for people to get it and understand what we're, you know, we're really kind of stripping down and pouring out our heart there, you know.
Well, and these aren't just songs, aside from There Was a River of Tears. I mean, there were, but most of these were road tested for a while. I mean, you were performing these for a bit, right?
I'd say maybe 70 or 80%.
Yeah.
Nina is a new one. A song we wrote to Nina Simone about all the violence and you know, everything going on in the world today. And River of Tears, brand new. Sanctified, we've been playing. It was going to be on the last album, and it just never really came together. You know, we finally
did
here. Right?
We did a pre-production demo when we were getting ready for You Can't Keep a Good Woman Down, and
that song was not there.
The vibe was not there, and we threw it back on the shelf. But it was part of the live repertoire for a little while.
Yeah.
But once we dumped it after the demo, it kind of just disappeared into the ether. So that was one of the songs that I whipped out that day in Belgium.
And
that
they got
I taught to them on the studio floor. That's the second take that you're hearing.
Second take, yeah.
Second take, yep.
Well,
15 minutes after I taught it to them. Yeah. So. Same with Drowning Blues.
Yeah.
They had never heard that before.
That's right.
And in fact, I hadn't played the song in at least six or seven years.
I don't remember the lyrics. We had to, like, I know there's a fourth verse here, so we're just going to leave that alone, and we'll figure it out when we get home.
And, of course, the John Prine classic, Angel from Montgomery, on this
record. That we started performing about a year and a half ago on Beale Street.
Yeah.
We just, one night, you know, well, let's do something different. And I knew that she knew it. Because her good old cousin Ted taught it to her. Hey, Ted, I know you're listening.
Love you, Ted Cole.
That's right. So that was part of the live repertoire. Here Comes the Flood was part of the live repertoire. That was another song that kind of came together on Beale Street. I'd Rather Be Blind, we've been playing since day
beginning
one.
Of time, yeah.
In fact, there's even a Low Society demo of that from 7 years ago.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the first things that we
that you took on,
just to...
It's crazy, too. It's like the Etta James version. Know, over time, I was able to make my own version.
But
you
listen
to that, and you're like, wow, like,
yeah.
I really have, you know, we have grown.
It's one of those tunes that you got to put on and wear for a little while.
You got to break out your own heartbreak. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and frankly, those covers, you know, it's not that we were short of material, because we're not.
No, but it was stuff that you wanted to do.
It was a demand.
The audience
for those two songs.
Demanded it. You know,
really?
Every time we play out, I want to buy that. Where can I buy that? We love how you play that.
Those two songs. So it's a risk because they're very done to death, especially Rather Be Blind. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. We did it anyway. So, bleh.
So bad.
We've only gotten a tiny bit of flack for it. I thought we might, but we've gotten way more of a positive response.
We've heard it described as, I'd rather go deaf.
And then we did a great job, but still, that was what they called us, you know. Just how they thought of that song in general.
Because they're sick of it. But what are you going
to
do?
You got to give them what they want. If they want it, then you got to give it to them.
I'm proud of it. Yeah. I'm really proud of it.
We did our damn best. Absolutely 100% best.
There's no two ways around that, and it's a great package all the way around. So, absolutely, I highly recommend getting this record for anybody who's a fan.
I recommend your recommendation.
Well, thank you very much, sir.
Sure.
In fact, we'll be playing a few cuts off of that, and we're going to hear some live stuff with you guys tonight too.
Absolutely,
Distinct possibility
of that. So I'm going to take a little break here, and we'll come back, and we'll play another cut here, I guess, and we'll chat and we'll play some stuff here. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, kids. Low Society's here in the studio here on the Booze and Blues. We'll be back with more right after this here at Radio Bubba. That's Low Society and the Freeze from the brand new Sanctified record that is available where sold, quite literally. And they are here in studio tonight. We've been talking about this rhythm section that you picked up on this record that you found overseas, and it's interesting how that happened. I mean, it was just you went over there to guess to play. You weren't really having any intentions to make the record, or did you?
Not at all.
No, listen, a lot of people use local talent to tour with.
Makes sense.
Just financially. feasible.
You know what you meant.
Yeah. But by the same token, kind of a crapshoot. You know, we had a month's worth of dates booked, and had they been dogs...
Yes.
We would have had a real problem.
It'd have been a little tricky.
That's right.
Yeah.
But that was not the case. And then beyond the fact that they were so capable as musicians, they also were just the loveliest people. We made friends for life.
Yeah.
Really. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
We miss them. We can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
And there are some other players on this record as well. Of course, the other Memphians, Rick Steff and Brian Hawkins, of course.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Andrew McCarty.
Both of whom were on You Can't Keep a Good Woman Down. Rick Steff is indispensable to the Low Society Studio Magic.
He's incredible. I mean, just the touches that he adds to your stuff is just brilliant.
Mm-hmm. One listen in there, bam, laying it down.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
And if it wasn't in there, you'd miss it.
Yes.
You know, he adds that right kind of spice and flavor to it all.
I think it took him, I mean, you know, I shouldn't brag about this, but I think he did it in 4 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he played on all but two songs.
Yeah. You know?
He is magical. He's a magic man. Yeah.
Accordion, B3, piano.
Mm-hmm.
He's a triple threat.
If it's got buttons and it makes noises, he'll make it.
Seriously.
That's right.
And, of course, Brian Hawkins, man.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got Brian Hawkins playing the jaw harp on the Raccoon song.
Which is a fun song.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I just had this wild notion.
Like, where do you hear the jaw harp? There's only a few songs in memory, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They just come out, and then this happened. Yes.
Yeah, had to have it. Yeah.
And I put the call out on Facebook, actually. Can anyone play this thing?
Right?
It seems easy, but it's not.
No.
There's a little. Well, and you got to get the there's
yeah, we
tones that you got to get. Yeah.
We brought one home. We tried.
Oh,
Yeah.
Just to taste the metal in your mouth.
Yes. Yeah. It's like you're chewing on an aluminum
and
bolt.
I never had braces. I don't
know. Yeah. Oh, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. And then to find somebody that's capable of doing it and good at it is, you know, that's part of it.
Exactly. Yes. And then both Will and Andrew both helped out with some percussion on there. And Mandy and I did the rest of it.
Yeah.
Hand claps and tambourines and shakers and the train whistle. And
Bells. Literally bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles came out of this thing.
I actually did all the bells and whistles. Thank you. Literally.
Well, it is. It is. It's in fact a team effort. And that's what I like about the record, too, is that every track is its own individual, you know, thing.
Yeah. Interestingly, I bought a pair of Tibetan bells at the Tibet House in New York City.
Yeah.
I guess, man, at least 20 years ago, and just to buy something from the Tibet House to help support the Tibetans.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
those bells have been on every one of our records.
Ah, see, they're... Good God. Yeah, those things are good and loud, too.
It's totally loud, right?
Yeah.
It resonates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Will did a little bit of digital trickery with it. If you listen to Nina... You'll hear it, and it just sounds like it's like flanging a little.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Same effect on the freeze, cool. too, for those clicks that you hear on the freeze is actually a toy from the 50s or the 40s, 60s, the 60s.
Mr. Machine.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And actually just brought him into
There's
the studio.
There's a picture of him on the inside sleeve.
Because he was inspiration for us, right? And then we were playing around, like waiting to record some backup vocals, and we were playing around in the booth, and Sturgis was rolling it back and forth. And Will was recording that. And then we heard that, and we're like, oh man, that is so cool. Like, let's stick that in there. Yep. Yeah. So that's how that went down.
Mr. Machine.
Mr. Machine. That's
actually,
awesome.
The track originally was called The Freeze Meets Mr. Machine.
All because Mr. Machine has the saddest eyes. Like, when I'm singing that song, I wanted to look at his face, you know.
He looks so sad.
He has very sad eyes.
Oh, that's funny. Well, how about you guys want to play a tune here before we take a break?
Sure.
Philip to do a little live stuff in here. We got some listeners in from all over the place. I know your hometown is having a day right now.
Houston, Texas, man.
They're having some trouble down there, but I think there's actually some people that have power that are tuned in from down there.
Ty Seal, I know, is tuned in. Hello, Ty. How you doing?
Mad love to you guys in Houston, man. We love y'all. Hang in there, buddy.
Stay dry.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy down there, and it's, there's more rain and tornadic activity that's slated for the early part of this week. So,
y'all hang tough, man.
It's going to be a mess.
This is the 500-year flood.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, my half brother had to be rescued on a jet ski earlier today from his home. It's just like, wow, it's just wild.
At least he looked classy leaving it.
That's right, baby. They had their little life preservers and everything.
Yeah. Oh, but I don't mean to joke about that sort of thing, because it's a mess, and you know people's property and their lives have been uprooted
right now.
So it's going to take a few months to clear all this out. But
more than they're saying on the news today that in this particular case, it's going to take years.
This is rivaling Katrina's damage without a doubt.
Yeah. Wow. They're one of the cities that took a lot of Katrina in. You know, open arms, open hearted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was even some talk that the Mexican military was coming in to help.
Or
they had offered, like they did in New Orleans. They had come over.
Isn't you know who's going to love that?
Well, you know.
Say now. This is about music.
Oh, my.
Not always.
Oh, my.
Now.
Yeah, he's sitting there going, I don't know, man. There's brown people down there.
Let me tell you, those people in Houston aren't asking what party you're in when they're coming with the boat to rescue
you. No, they don't.
Okay,
no.
But
when Jeff and I were talking, and he's out of town tonight. He may call in later.
He's
in Austin tonight, and he and I were chatting last night on the phone about all of this, and his take on this is so terrifying. he's like, you know,
sounds about right.
Yeah. He's not going to do anything. Oh, this is just going to let it go.
We shall see.
As of
right now, as we're talking, FEMA hasn't had a director since he took office.
Yeah, there's no FEMA director.
Yeah.
And there's going to be complete chaos when it comes to bringing federal deal. And something else that come out, the state of Texas is the only state that has a prenup with the United States. So they could back out. And if they don't get any federal assistance, they may just say, you know what?
They may finally do it.
And Jeff said, because I was joking him, I said, if you're flying to Texas, take your passport because you may need it to get back.
Good old Texas, baby.
Yeah, hell yeah. I grew up down there.
I'm from Texas.
They are not afraid to say, you know what, F this. We're going to just have our own thing here. They've got their own military.
Right.
They've got their own Navy, for Christ's sake. So they can certainly handle it. So.
Well, God bless them.
God bless them indeed. And, I've spent many, many years down in Corpus Christi, Texas, too. And it's a fun city. And it's a beautiful city, and every once in a while they get hit like this, and when it does, it gets hit hard.
Yeah, it's no joke.
I'm just glad Rick Perry never got the nomination.
What? What are you talking about, sir?
Rick Perry did run for president.
He did run.
God,
yes.
Lord have mercy on Texas.
That's why you and I don't live there anymore, honey.
Thank you.
What do you want to do? What are you going to sing?
I'm going to play Nina.
You're going to do Nina? Okay.
Are you going to pick this up from...
Yeah, I got you. You can actually give me a little bit more gas on that if you want. There you go.
I'd like to dedicate this to my mother.
Yes.
Passed away last week.
I am sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Mom's already died. So, this is for Mom.
That is awesome. That is so good. Nina, Low Society at Radio Memphis. Yes. Let me grab a break here. We'll come back. We'll do some more live stuff. How about that? Ah, the Raccoon Song from Sanctified. Low Society is what that band is.
You know that the raccoon is Mandy's spirit animal.
It somehow does not surprise me any. I love that song. It's got such a neat little groove to it.
Joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre.
Yeah.
How many blues songs can you say that about?
Only one that I can think of.
What's that?
That one.
Oh.
But, you know, like you said, to your credit, you can't really put this in a box. You can't. What are you?
Well, we did.
Americana.
There it is. You're holding it.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, as far as
packaged,
you know, in the package box, yeah. But if you know, under what?
And listen, it's what category comes out of us. We're the filter. Yeah. Okay, we're the filter. So
yes,
you know,
some guy did make a John Lee Hooker reference though, which I was very proud of him for getting. So that was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a hill country stomp.
Yeah.
As far as the riff itself, and that's another one of my little Beale Street creations. You know, the unending hours on stage at Blues Hall, you know, trying to think up stuff to play that's entertaining, and, you know, I don't want to be bored. I want to enjoy myself. So that was one of the things that we sort of concocted on stage.
Did you find yourself just getting into a groove and just sitting there for hours on end?
This is one of those things that you can do that with.
Yeah, well, yes. Yeah. It's the endless boogie right there.
Exactly.
John Lee made a career out of it, you know, for. And Bo Diddley did the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, there's so much of it.
Uh-huh. I actually wrote the lyrics in about 10 minutes at work one day. we had watched a Discovery Channel show about raccoons. And they were doing the city raccoon and the country raccoon. And they did an experiment with trash cans, like city trash cans, with a bungee cord around them. Mm-hmm. And the city raccoons and all their babies with them were up in that thing in like 2 minutes, nibbling on chicken wings and stuff, having a little feast. And the country raccoon had never seen one of those things before and was rolling around. 10 minutes later, he didn't have nothing going on. And I just thought that was hilarious and just wrote a little song about it. So
he felt bad for the country raccoon.
I did. He went over to the chicken, you know, the rooster coop house, whatever, got him a little chicken dinner later on that night.
As they do.
Not no trash cans. Yeah.
Yes. All right, isn't a raccoon in German a trash panda?
Mm-hmm. They That's do eat exactly trash. They're in society. Yeah. Yes, they are.
And if you listen carefully, you'll hear towards the end a little shout out to Watermelon Slim.
That's right, down in Clarksdale.
Yeah.
And to a shout out to Mr. Rat from the Riverside Hotel.
That's right.
Who's now deceased, R.I.P. Mr. Rat. But what a character that guy was. We had to give him a shout out too. Yep. Yeah.
Speaking of those that have passed, Big Jerry's walk down, his final trip down Beale was, when was that?
Yesterday.
It's very sad.
Yeah, I didn't get down there for that, but I saw some of the pictures. It was a nice little turnout there for him, and,
You know, Big Jerry, when I first got to Memphis in 2012, Ashley Bishop took me down to see Big Jerry.
Yeah.
I met Ashley pretty quickly.
I think he was kind of caring for him there towards the end.
Within the first month. Well, Jerry wasn't sick yet at the time.
Right.
And Jerry was still doing his daily.
Yeah.
Daily across the street from the New Daisy.
He was right there in the old Daisy.
Out front,
right there in front of the door there,
Yeah. So I sat in with him, and he invited me back.
Yeah.
And I went for a few days. And it was quite the experience. I'm not denigrating in any.
But it is playing the street like that is.
It was a living encyclopedia of blues songs.
Really?
Yeah, he would just call stuff out, the most obscure, you know, stuff that. Fortunately, I know.
Yeah, because you're into the obscure when it comes to the blues.
And I was very impressed.
Holcomb, I think, is a little more up your alley, too.
I love Holcomb. Yeah. I do. I love Holcomb. But I thought Big Jerry was fabulous.
Yeah.
I really did. And I was truly sad when he got sick and he had the stroke and everything. And God bless Ashley for taking care of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I met Big Jerry a couple of times, and he's just such a sweet guy, you know. And Lord knows, putting up with all the business down on Beale Street out there, you know.
Yeah.
Heart of gold.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, he was grandfathered in as far as being allowed to perform on the sidewalk. Because they have disallowed that.
Really?
Yeah. You can't just go busk anymore. No. Those days are over.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't set up your cup, you know, and just go play and try and collect a few dollars.
The city owns all the sidewalks, except for the property in front of Schwab's. So if you have permission from Schwab's, you can do that in front of their store, but that's it.
I know you have to have a license to busk.
That's right.
And I think somebody had told me that there's only just a small area of downtown where it's even just openly allowed, mm-hmm. which is like down Main, I think. Yep. It was along the trolley line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And except on trolley night when they don't let that happen, so...
Which, you know, is a damn...
There's no more trolley either, so... You know.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. Let's not even get into that.
They're allegedly coming back at the end of the year,
so...
I hope so.
That's so cute.
Not only was that part of the flavor that I found so attractive about Memphis, really was, it has adversely affected businesses on Main Street.
It has.
Judy, our good friend Judy over there at the Center for Southern Folklore, is crying the blues.
Because there's no trolley.
There's no trolley. And that's where a lot of her sort of walk-around business came from.
Well, I know the mayor has been working fervently on getting these things back, you know, out on the road. You know, having them, you know, burst into flames is not good for business, apparently. So that was why they had...
Why not?
Because there's some people that deserve to be on them, for sure. But having them completely redone, it's going to be a good thing.
It's a lot of money, and we know, you know...
Yeah, and it's worth it.
How ill-managed this city is.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. It's has its problems like many others, for sure.
Yeah.
I spoke to somebody last week who said they happened to go by the barn where they keep all the trolleys, and they're in there working on them right now.
They really are.
Yeah, they've been in there working on them.
Okay, well, that gladdens my heart.
So,
you know.
I mean, they have quite a few of those that they have to, you know, bring up to code, and they're replacing all those motors and all that stuff so they don't burst into flames.
It's a good thing.
It's not good to kill your tourists.
No.
Well,
it's dangerous enough as it is. Let's put it that way.
That's what I was about to say.
Let's not add to that by having public transit.
Where's your sense of adventure, Rick? Come on.
I live here. I have a sense of adventure. I'm proud of it.
It's not like we're in Chicago.
No. My God, no.
We could be, but we're not.
Last night during the big fight that was happening, I had the back door to my patio open, and I was sitting in my office, and I could hear all the hoopla of the drunken Irish down there at the Celtic Crossing. And at one point, there were sirens and police people on their PAs going, "All right, everybody off the sidewalk." I think there was a Irish, you know, Donnybrook, if you will.
A revolt when that guy lost, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
As if he could have beaten Mayweather. Come on.
Yeah, really. I fortunately saw the fight. I had a link to it.
It was a good one.
It was good, yeah. It was worth watching. I'm kind of a fan of the sport, but... Yeah. But
supposedly the guy had a good first few rounds.
He did, yeah. But
that was part of Mayweather's strategy, was let him wear himself out.
Let him wear himself out. And plus he goes, "Look, I just want to give the folks a bit of a show. They spent some money, so let's give them some rounds." Yeah. And it went all the way to the 10th, and then at that point the Irishman didn't know where he was. He could have been all that point.
Wow.
I mean, Mayweather had
You got to put in a little effort to make $30 million.
It was 100.
No. Mayweather got 100. Connor got 30.
I thought it was Mayweather got 300 and...
No, that was the Pacquiao fight. Mayweather got 300.
Yeah. I got you.
This fight, well, this is what I read. That was the breakdown, was that Mayweather walked away with 100 the contender with 30. And that's not a bad payday for someone that's never boxed in his life.
No, and to go 10 rounds, my hat's off to him. That was with a guy like Mayweather who, you know, and they stopped it at the perfect time, because had it gone a few more seconds, there would have been a dead guy in the ring.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was he hit him hard.
Well, you know, for the $100 admission, I think you deserve a death.
There's that.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the old, you know, 1920s, 30s school of boxing, you know. You fight till there's no one left.
I miss Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Love you, Mike.
I miss Mike.
The wife said, Mayweather's going to hit that guy so hard, it's going to knock the Irish accent right out of his head.
She was right.
No, Mayweather's good, but he's no Mike Tyson.
No, he's no Mike Tyson. No, he's no heavyweight either. I mean, they weighed in at, 130 pounds. I mean, soaking wet. That's not much.
Not much.
Not much at all.
Yeah. Scrappy little guys, huh?
Scrappy little guys.
Yeah.
And at 40.
Well, Mayweather, not the other one.
No, he's 30. 10 years younger than him. It was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it for what it was. How about y'all want to play some more?
Sure. We're going to play another track off of Sanctified.
Yes.
This is called New York City Boy Number 3. And
what happened to 1 and 2?
Well,
it's a secret code.
They didn't make the grade. They didn't make the grade.
I gotcha.
This is dedicated and about a very, very close and dear friend of Mandy's. And I worked on this music for a while. It took a while to develop this.
He's one of our dear friends and a huge supporter of our band and actually kind of our first manager / mentor / my best friend, kind of guy who helped me, you know, pull my act together and basically funded our first album. Really was...
It was a high time record, wasn't it?
Yeah, high time. Was just a wonderful, you know, way more than a friend, way more than a manager, way more than a brother, way just a beautiful, brilliant soul. We lost him in 2012, right after we moved here, and it's just a heartbreak, you know. Some things you just never recover from, you just kind of go on with life a little different. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what the song is about.
Okay, so, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's real nice. Nice little sentiment there.
Thank you very much.
And that little lick is on the end of this on the record too.
That's our depression session now.
The depression session.
Yeah, gotta get it out, you know.
putting this record together, I mean, you had to go through quite a few emotions, it seems like, on this one.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the Can't Keep a Good Woman Down, which is a good, rollicking, fun record, as it is.
A lot of creativity.
It has its moments, too.
Yeah, it has its moments, but this one, I think, has a little more emotion tied to it, it seems.
Yeah, this one we dug a little deeper, I think. You know, the first one was kind of, the last album was kind of the low-hanging fruit, and this one was,
reaching a little further up into the branches with it.
Reveal a little bit more, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like the cover of it. You know, I think it shows it's a good visual representation of what the album is.
I thought so too. Yeah, I was like, oh man, that's a shot from a video. So it's not even a photo. Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. So now this new record that you're working on too. Now we'll get more into it later. But you're going back to the roots, if you will.
We have a couple of tricks up our sleeve.
Ah. I won't press you for an elaboration at that point.
It's coming through the ether zone and coming down to us.
So well, you've got a busy fall that's lining up too. You've got a couple of places here in the states you're playing, it seems, as you're building that together, and then it's over there.
Off to the
old world.
A great new rhythm section here in America we're putting together. We've got these guys together. We're actually debuting this Saturday at the Memphis Music and Heritage Festival.
Yes.
We'll be playing at 8:15 p.m. at the Center for Southern Folklore storefront stage right off Main Street.
Yes.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've been looking really forward to that.
Judge Booker on the
bass, baby. Woo!
Judge is the thing, man.
And then Andrew, what's his last name?
Andrew McNeil.
Andrew McNeil.
But Andrew won't be with us this Saturday.
Right.
We've got James Cunningham.
Previous engagement.
James Cunningham.
Yes. Good old JC. Yeah. On the drums there. Yeah. Can't go wrong with that. Nope. So, and then we'll be playing in October at the Slippery Noodle in Indianapolis.
Yes.
Here in the States.
I got a few other things
in the works here before we leave for Europe in November. We'll be gone the whole month of November.
Wow.
To December.
Wow.
Some great shows lined up over there. Playing with one show with Papa Chubby in Germany. And we're very excited about that. We love that guy, man.
And
Luxembourg with Anson Funderburg.
Anson Funderburg.
Yeah, man.
We are playing in Luxembourg. It is the 20th anniversary of the Luxembourg Blues Society.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we are playing at the infamous Sangaklang Concert Hall. Yeah.
Wow.
We're opening for Anson Funderburg. That's going to be a hell of a night.
That's going to be a lot of fun there. Yeah.
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 You have to get contract a video company or something to come, you know, shoot that.
We'll be definitely getting some videos out of that.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get some of our friends.
That's going to be a Texas summit there.
Yeah. We love you, Texas. Hang in there, man.
Oh, yeah.
Anson and Mandy.
Yeah.
Right there in the center of Europe.
Do you know the little backstory about Anson Funderburg? By the way?
I don't believe I do.
No, you don't.
No. Okay.
You know who Mike Judge is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mike Judge and Anson
King of the Hill
went to college together.
Did they really?
Oh, that's
they
right.
were roommates.
That's
right. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Beavis. Yeah.
Is Anson.
Oh, my God. That's
really?
Right. Based on.
Oh, wow.
True story.
College roommate.
I take it Anson is aware of this.
Yes.
I'm
sure. He wears it proudly, a badge of honor, you know.
Hey, I would. Yeah. That's awesome.
As I said it, did it dawn on you? Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tim's cool.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's awesome. I will never be able to see those two again the same way.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, he's legendary.
Yeah.
Great guitar player.
Yeah.
Stupid. I don't know how many show my face. You know? Nobody ever made a cartoon out of me. You know?
Give them time.
Yeah, right. Feel free. Feel free, folks.
Give them time. And there you go. Low Society and Voodoo Woman there from the You Can't Keep a Good Woman Down record. Here on this Sunday night. Jeff Janowitz is off. He's in Austin, Texas. Last time he was there, he wound up doing some time in Dantones.
Antone's.
Dantone's, they're on 6th Street.
Antone's.
Antone's, yes.
Famous.
Dantone's, what do you think?
I was thinking of something different. And he wound up hanging out with Bill Murray for a moment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, I can see that, too. See
that. He ran into him out there. There were loads. I think it was Brian Murray was in a cast. Like
Brian Doyle Murray.
From his knee down, and Bill had brought a big SUV up to the front of the club so they could load him in there, and they chatted for a brief moment. He just sent me a picture. So here's to that happening. But yeah, kids, we have Low Society here in the studio. We're talking about the brand new record, Sanctify. It's been out for a little while. It is available literally everywhere.
Everywhere.
Go
the
get
best
it.
Place
well,
to
we
buy
would
prefer is yes. from the artist directly. Yes. On
that is correct.
Website.
We'll sign it for you.
Yes, you should always do that because the artists make the extra cash that
that's
way.
Right.
So go to screamingblues.com.
That's right.
And that's where you'll find it. Plus all the other pertinent information you need to know about
that's
this
right.
band. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to book them for your bar mitzvah or wedding, you can do that too. heard your
we're
teeth grinding
a special
over here.
This month on Briss.
On Briss. Briss. Sturgis will actually perform it for you during an intermission. He keeps a cigar cutter in his pocket
that's
at all
right.
times because you never know. The full service band that is Low Society.
Get a tip from Low Society.
Or take a tip. Take a tip. That's a cool thing. Well, I'm excited for you guys. We were talking about the whole European experience. You've always done very well over there.
We like it there.
Well, and you've got a lot of fans over
they
there,
like
too.
They like us. We like them.
It's
yeah.
a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it's really remarkable, and you guys have been here long enough to know that when you play in Memphis, it's just there's a weird vibe here. But the second you step out, and you don't even have to go far, it's like, oh, you're from Memphis. Oh, you know, they go crazy.
And we've had some good response here in Memphis, but it's a tough nut to crack.
It is a tough nut.
It's a lot of back towards you, you know, people at the bar watching the game on TV. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, ouch.
Right.
Yeah,
no.
Well, I think a lot of it is people that live here just sort of take it for granted that
yes.
this talent is here. I think absolutely. That's really kind of what that boils down to.
Yeah, it's in your face.
You
yeah.
know,
so
there's it's just like this too many yet. Damn musicians in this town.
That's part of it.
You need fabulous musicians.
But if you notice that there's all these musicians that live here, they just kind of base their shit here, and then they'll make their record, they'll play a couple of shows here to kind of work the kinks out and then get out.
We literally learned that the hard way.
We have learned that the hard way, yeah.
But it's you know, and I think the city has its place for that, you know, because it's a music industry.
It will teach you a lot. It will.
It will. When you did some time down on Beale Street as a regular act down there, and you know exactly what that is, and it's really hard to communicate to people that are listening to what that's like, you know, because Beale Street has this, I don't know, there's this, I don't know, spotlight that shines on everybody thinks that, oh, this, you got to do this. And when you get down there as a musician and you work it, you realize it's a completely different animal.
It's a grind,
speaking
man,
from
grind.
Experience. Now, yeah. You know, and it's an experience that I definitely am glad that I have.
Yeah.
I really cherish it, yeah.
It's a hard nut to crack.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I constantly either hear from people or I literally see posts on Craigslist of, I'm moving to Memphis to break into the whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy,
no.
Know, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Stay home.
It's almost like the people that want to move to LA to be a movie star. It's kind of like that. Or they move to Nashville to be a country star, and it's like, whoa, you know, hold your horses before you do that.
I mean, I could tell you that it took us the better part of 2 years to get ourselves onto Beale Street in a regular sense. I mean, we played a couple of. You know, played in the alley, but Black Diamond Alley.
Yeah, yeah.
That because nobody gets paid.
Sure,
know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
And it's an interesting experience. It's a neat
free.
Little spot, but
yeah, so
and you run into a lot of tourists. You don't know who you're playing for, you know.
But to break into the actual circuit.
To the grind.
Of Beale Street. That's another story.
Yeah.
And for good reason, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Good reason.
I had respect for those guys.
I respect, and I respect the people that run the venues.
Yeah.
You know, and what they have to put up with.
Yeah.
But some of those gigs...
They're legacy gigs.
They're legacy gigs. And spot's not going to open up until somebody croaks. And that's how it is.
Ask Vince Johnson about that.
That's
he'll
right.
you know.
And, you know, he's my favorite thing in Memphis, man.
He's mine, too.
God,
Vince is...
bringing the real to Beale Street.
I was just... it was like, I don't know, some afternoon. It was, the sun was out. It was a Saturday afternoon. It was before things really got busy. I was like, I got a little time. I went and I got one of those street beers and walked in, and I ran into Vince down there, and we were talking to him for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, you must have just seen him come and go down here. And he goes, man, over the 30 years or plus that he's played down there, he says, I have literally seen them come and go.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he said, they come in with these big expectations, mm-hmm. and they leave with their tail between their legs sometimes, you know, because it's like, this is not what I really thought this was.
Sweaty and broken with 10 bucks in your pocket. Yeah.
But they do leave here with that experience, and that does help them.
That
you
is
know.
Invaluable, yeah. man.
It is. It's
so
invaluable.
Delicious. Like something you can't buy. Sweat for
yeah, but
it,
but
know?
Vince yeah. is the perfect example of what I'm talking about. That in order to make a living, you literally have to play 12 hours a day.
Oh yeah.
And you know, while I'm capable of it, that is not what I want to do.
No.
You know, that's not what I want
to
do.
No.
And
special person
and to play
that.
The same routine, day in and day out.
Yeah.
To sweat a few bucks out of the tourists.
Yeah.
That is not what I was put on this earth to do. You know, I'm here to make, you know, to record, which is what I love to do.
Sure.
I love to produce records, you know.
The man is tough as nails, though.
And I love to travel and play music, you know, and I've been doing it the better part of my life. You get stuck in that grind on Beale Street, and you're not going anywhere. You're just chasing your tail in a circle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you're going to exhaust yourself and eventually fall out of love with the thing that made you want to be a musician in the first place. You know?
That's not everybody.
It's not everybody.
No, it's not everybody. But yeah, but that's a lot of people.
Some people I know that are down there, and my heart goes out to them. It really does.
They're made of different stuff, man.
Yeah, it's a different stock.
They deserve better.
They deserve way better.
But they are stuck in that grind.
Yeah. And when you walk off of it, and there's that moment of clarity when it's like, holy shit, did I just do that? I mean, did I spend all that much time down there? And, you know.
But we're so strong now because of it. That was invaluable, but, you know.
I mean, before that, you guys were doing Sturgis, you hosted the Blues Jam down at Kudzu's for quite a while. Yeah. And that was actually doing pretty well. And it's unfortunate the club
was closed.
But
that's actually what got us
on
Beale Street.
Yeah.
That's what got us our spot
and
on Beale Street.
And honestly, what made us leave was, you know, me and Sturgis were, you know, pretty much, we're like fools willing to put up with that crap. Like, we don't care, we do it anyway, just because we love to play.
Sure.
But getting other people to put up with that and do it for $10, $20, $30, 4 or 5 hours of work, I mean, that's a lot to ask of people.
Yeah.
And they were bailing on us, man, left and right. Yeah.
Well, of course they were.
So,
you know,
15 minutes before showtime.
Yeah.
Because they're like sitting there thinking, oh, I don't really
want to play. Well, at the time, Carson, he's no longer running the place.
Right.
If you think Carson cares, you know, if you think that I could call him up at 7:45, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock stage time, oh, my drummer just bailed on me.
That's not how the music works.
Find another band.
Yeah. Find another band.
Running up and down the street. Do you play drums? Yeah. Okay. It was very stressful, man. That was making it very unenjoyable. We couldn't play our original music. Yeah. I had to play covers of people who didn't. I mean, it was just a lot.
This was the beginning of last summer when we finally decided to pack it in.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that. That was part of it.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Dealing with musicians, you know,
asking people to put up with that.
The business end of showbiz,
But also, because of some incidents that happened downtown,
mm-hmm.
there was that policeman that was killed.
Yes.
Murdered.
And tourism dropped off.
Like, oh, dramatically.
I couldn't believe.
Yeah, it was huge, yeah.
So, you know, it became almost impossible to turn a dollar, you know.
And then all that mess with the Beale Street Bucks, that whole thing, you know.
It made it very hard. It really did, you know.
I mean, I'll always cherish our time on Beale Street, but there's the rest of the world.
Well,
but I don't want anyone down there to think that we're quitters. We're not quitters.
No.
You know?
We love Beale Street.
You were shifting gears, and you're looking at doing what you need to do as an artist, and that's the important thing.
And, I mean, this year has been kind of an anomaly, and keep in mind that Mandy and I are going on, you know, almost... 8 years of low society.
Yeah.
And after we got back from Europe and finished making this record, which took until the very beginning of February, and then I had to go into the hospital.
Yes.
I had surgery, and it took months to recuperate. And so I'm literally just getting back on my feet now.
Yeah, started it all back up again.
Yeah.
Well, here's to the end of this year being a good one, and so far you're lining yourselves up for a nice way to cap out 2017.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. I think I may have to join you guys and take the month of November off from this nonsense and go.
Please.
I apparently have fans over there as well.
We'll have coffee in Rome.
Yes.
Mandy remembers that.
Pinky
right?
sticking out. Right. That's right. Espresso style.
We had this guy that helped us produce the first Low Society album, and that was his
little vision.
We're gonna have a cappuccino in Rome.
Yes.
Look at there.
Yes.
Okay.
Having been to Rome, I can tell you it's incredible. I love that city.
Wow.
Absolutely love it.
Wait.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get an iron girdle for Mandy.
What?
The Italians are ass grabbers.
Oh yeah, they are all about. They're handsy.
I got a lot of booty to pinch. Okay.
they're a bit handsy. Yeah.
Oh no.
Even the Italians that have moved here. They've been in here a few times.
We don't like that. Don't be touching us.
Oh, they get gropey.
Okay?
Yeah.
Break some arms and shit. No.
It's all love. That's all it is, Mandy. They just love you. That's. They don't share those American sensibilities.
Right.
Thankfully, actually.
Yeah, we're over in the Low Country over there, you know, in Belgium and the Netherlands. They behave themselves. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
They're a different thing. We bring this every once in a while. It was Jeff Jensen was telling us about his first experience playing in Europe, and he said that they're going through their set. And they're just on fire. He says, you get in that groove and the band's tight, everything's going well. And he's like, this is my show. And he goes, this audience is not, they're not reacting what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they're just being polite.
Yes, yes.
They're not screaming. They're not dancing. They're politely applauding at the end of every track. And then when the show was over, he was just mobbed.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God. But that's just how Europeans
reserved.
Are.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're very reserved.
Yeah. Yep.
They're very respectful, I think, is really more critical of it. Because they're there to hear you perform your art.
But let me tell you, you can tell with an audience if you've got them in the palm of your hand.
Yes.
They don't have to be screaming and jumping around.
No.
Yeah.
If they're not digging it, trust me,
And if they are,
yeah, there's, and that's a kind of an odd, uncomfortable thing. Oh, God, this has got another 45 minutes left in this.
Not going well. Not going well.
I'm going to have to set something on fire to bring these people around.
Actually, the first gig that we played in Belgium.
I was thinking of that big,
couple years ago.
Concert hall, and they were so quiet. I was like, well, I'll learn
I'm talking
in Dutch next time. And they were like, we love you, or whatever. I was like, okay.
No, I'm talking about the first gig we played, the first time we went to Belgium after the Lucerne Blues Festival in Antwerp.
God, that was
in Antwerp.
Horrible.
Yeah, Antwerp.
Well, did y'all bomb?
So
did,
yes. Yeah, the yes. first half. Yeah.
The first half, it just kind of fell apart on you. And
I don't know what happened, man.
Nobody
second
does.
Half came back strong, but it was too late.
It was too late. Once you lose them, they're not coming back.
We gained a couple, but the majority were just like, nah.
No, I don't think so.
It happens, man. It happens to all.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
We even a couple of days later, one of the guys that was in the audience even came on Facebook to insult us.
That's special effort, man. I'm going to hold a grudge all the way till I get home.
You know what they say? 30% of the people are going to love you. 30% are going to hate you. And 30 really just don't care. It can't be bothered. It's that 10% you got
to
sway
your way. They're there to watch the game. So
right.
Yeah.
10% you got to sway your way. That's where your work comes in.
Oh, well, sure. Yeah. And this it goes without saying in this business, you just, not every night's going to be a home run.
That's
you know,
right.
Lord knows I've bombed a bunch. And it's an odd feeling, but that's part of what helps you as an artist, though, is you've got to go out there and do that.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. And sharpen up your edges and whatnot. Yes.
You learn real quickly not to phone anything in.
Yeah.
But that's got to present its own issues as well, too. Now, with the travel involved in this is a pretty elaborate thing. I mean, we were talking about the guitars that you're taking with you, and so you've got, not just the fact that you're completely displaced away from everything that you're used to having here in the States, but you're having to come up with amplifiers and backline all that stuff.
You can rent all that and spend all your money.
I mean, you can wind up.
I think you bought storing it over there,
I have an amp over there that I use,
Okay,
so it's
good.
The same amp.
Right.
And I bring some pedals. And I bring a couple of guitars.
So you strip it down pretty well.
I strip it down, but that's all I need.
But not enough to really influence the show any.
No. No, not at all. Not at all. I could do it on borrowed guitars if I had to.
Sure. You wouldn't want to.
Right. But I could,
Because they're not set up to you.
It's not necessary.
No, it's not necessary. No, and thankfully the airline industry is now allowing people to travel with guitars.
For the most part. I have been very fortunate.
No one's breaking guitars just yet.
Knock on wood. Well, I don't give them my guitars.
Yeah, it sits in your lap, doesn't it?
I won't. No, it goes into the overhead.
Yeah.
It fits without any problem. You just need to get on the plane fast enough so that there's room in the overhead. Yeah.
That's where the pre-boarding is helpful.
That's right.
Yeah, it's that crazy mad rush for the gate before you even board, and everybody's like mad dogs.
Yeah.
It's just insane. It really is.
Yeah, I love traveling. It's the process I don't like.
Yeah.
That's
so crazy.
Oh my God! Remember,
you don't have a guitar. Get out of my way.
remember coming home last year at
came in through.
I don't remember which airport it was. No. Before we got back to the States, we were still in Europe, where they kept changing the gate.
Oh my God. I'm talking 40 people running in groups upstairs.
It's now at B12.
For like an
it's
hour.
Now at C55.
Yes, man. It was like that.
Yeah.
And then it was to another terminal.
Yeah.
The door was locked. You know? You couldn't get through.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And the plane's leaving in like 10 minutes.
And it's all panicky.
40 people are all in a group going, oh my God. Yeah. We all got bonded, and it was kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, because oh shit translates into every known language.
Yeah, exactly.
It really does.
40 of us, so they're going to attend to this, right?
Here, grab my hand. We're going. Let's go. Let's get grandma on the front. Let's go.
It was nuts. It really was.
Absolutely.
It was nuts.
Then there was another leg of that same trip, because it was, you know, Brussels to Dublin, Dublin to Chicago, Chicago to Memphis, okay?
Actually, we came in through D.C.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, we got stuck in D.C. and had to spend the night in D.C. at a friend's house. That's right.
Oh,
and then
no.
We got out of a whole different airport in the morning. That's right.
That's
thank
right.
God for Chris. Yes.
Thank God we had friends.
Chris Gaeta and her beautiful husband. Yes. Yeah. They were so sweet to us. Yeah, that was exciting.
I forgot about that.
Wow. It's all part of the fun.
Hey, I'd rather be doing that than waiting tables. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, honey. I really do hear you.
Take me to an airport.
But isn't it fun? And having played over there.
Well, any airport but Memphis International.
Yeah, well, there's that. Anyway. Yeah. Elvis Presley International's got its issues.
We love it there.
The European experience is different for artists, too, because you get paid to play. Imagine that concept.
Properly.
You know, there's a higher respect.
You get fed. Yeah. You get bedded down.
Four times as much as you do here.
You get a hot shower.
Yeah. Well,
sort
if
of.
You're lucky.
If you're lucky.
They feed you with like home-cooked meals.
If you're lucky.
Cubes.
They don't like heat or hot water as much as we do.
Yeah, no. They don't like ice cubes. I've learned that.
No, they don't.
They don't. You order a gin and tonic, it comes
neat. They love bread.
Yes, because they make it constantly.
Yes.
The baked goods are fabulous.
Yes. Well, get the immigrant to make you some brown bread. Because she does the Irish soda bread. She makes
that it. Was the one of the things about Belgium that we love so much is
the bread.
How inexpensive staples are.
Oh yeah,
bread vending machines on the corner in case like middle of the night wants some fresh bread.
You know how we have
really?
Machines out in the street.
Bread, man.
They have bread machines.
Bread machines
in the street.
Randomly placed throughout the city.
So you get like a small little loaf of bread.
Different kinds of bread.
And
you know, whole grain.
Oh my!
Like during so the morning, you know.
I think
I had a craving for some rye bread
multiple times a day. Oh my God!
You're over there cramming euros into the damn thing, and a loaf of bread pops out. That's awesome.
Yep.
Really cute.
So there was a market by Danny's house, and we would go over there and buy you know, meat and cheese and bread and
some sauce of some
everything's
sort.
Everything's like 50 cents, like instead of $5.
Oh well,
never spent more than €20.
Yeah,
and that would be a lot.
Yeah,
that would be a lot. I'm talking.
That's living extravagant.
€5 for a couple of
like
loaves of bread and some fresh cheese
people,
and
$17
and a good cheese too. I mean, it's right there.
Good cheese, baby.
Yeah. All made by those monks.
Yeah.
You know, they know what they're doing.
And if you're into beer, which I'm not, but if you're into beer,
I am.
Oh my God!
It's the Disneyland of beer.
Yeah.
That's what Belgium is referred to.
Yeah.
You can go to the monasteries.
Every town's got one.
And the monks, yeah. they brew, and sometimes they'll only open to the public for like 6 weeks. And if you time it right, they'll have all these brews going. And when you go in there, you grease them a couple of bucks, and they'll take you through the process. And then you sit in their beer garden, and they drink with you. They bring you food. Oh, it is awesome. And that beer is grown up beer. It's not like this swill that we have over here. It's no, you're. Oh. Yeah, and it's very jovial and very friendly people, and yes.
It makes you wonder why you're going home.
Yeah.
Serious.
And it's beautiful there, the landscape there, and it's these are ancient cities, and it's all well kept up.
Yeah, so I'm jealous now. With everything that's going on here.
Yeah.
The situation that we're in.
Yes, the situation, yes.
I just cry every night watching the news, man, just bawl.
And we are so looking forward to going back. Frankly, we were hoping to be back much sooner this year, but it just didn't work out because, you know, you got to book everything a year in advance.
So sure.
And we had such high hopes for this album, and to be perfectly honest with everyone here in the studio and out there in Radioland, we have sold twice as many physical copies over there as we have here.
Yeah.
We haven't really played that much here yet, but... We haven't played there at all, so never mind.
But that's
and that's part of the equation, I get it, but...
That's besides the point. Once we had them pressed, I sent a huge box over there to the boys.
Yes.
And they sold out.
Wow.
Yeah. They sold out, so...
And are the downloads the same, too? Have you been able to kind of track that? You're downloading more over there than here?
No.
I don't know about where, but...
No, they're more into physical, aren't they?
Listen, that picture has changed for everybody. So you can't go by that. Everything has moved to streaming now.
Yes. Yes.
And blues is not exactly at the top of the food chain when it comes to streaming.
That's correct.
All right. As far as iTunes, Pandora, and all of that nonsense
Spotify.
Is concerned, which pays, as we all know, a fraction of a penny per stream.
Mm-hmm.
A fraction of a penny.
32,000 is what it is.
Yeah. As far as iTunes is concerned, our iTunes sales... Well, it's not even what it was 3 years ago.
Really?
Each year, it progressively gets slimmer and slimmer as more and more people move over to the streaming model.
But we've made more this time than ever before.
Well, yes, we're doing
great.
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
For us, it's great.
You can get you that loaf of bread out of that machine later.
Considering the level of exposure that we enjoy on broadcast media.
Yes.
If we had a label behind us.
Yes. It changes the game.
There's no telling where we'd be at right now.
Yeah, it does
change
the game.
As an indie, you know, I'm sure there are labels that wish they had artists that were making this kind of royalties. You know?
Right.
But we don't have a machine behind us. And
not yet.
So we're doing it the best that we can.
We are the machine.
Are they downloading as much as over here?
Oh, I don't know about that, because I sell hand-to-hand over there, you know.
They still buy a lot of CDs?
Yes.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah.
What about vinyl? Have you considered? Because I know vinyl's a big thing over there, too.
Vinyl's expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah, it's a luxury.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's a luxury we just don't have
right
now.
Not quite there yet.
There's a band that we work with a little bit here, a rock band, who had... there was a fan, I think he was in Germany. It was a Memphis rock band, and this guy fell in love with him. He was like, I need to get in touch with him. So we made this connection happen, and he paid for, I think it was 5,000 copies of vinyl or something like that, and sold them within like.
Is this a metal band?
Kind of ish.
Is this medieval?
No. Okay. No, this is a different outfit.
That's amazing.
And the guy took, I think he took like, I don't know, minus cost of production, he took like, I don't know, maybe an additional 7 or 8%, and it sent the balance back over to the guys over here.
Oh my goodness.
And he was really, really cool about that. And then because of what had happened through that vinyl exchange, they wound up getting booked into some rock fest in New Delhi, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it was like some massive subcontinent. They went to India. As a result of, because all of a sudden there was this guy, this random hump in Germany that was like,
okay,
I love this band so much, buy these records. And he was putting them, he had contacts in enough record stores to make this work.
Wow.
And
all right,
somebody
so
heard
please
it.
Please tell us name of the band.
The Heavy Eyes.
Okay.
Oh, I've heard of They're actually, yes. I like them.
They're very good. They were right there on the ropes. Okay. They were ready to, the band was ready to break up.
Wow.
They'd had enough. They weren't getting any traction. Wow. They put this record together. One of the cats in the band was going to move to Texas with his wife or his girlfriend. She had gotten a job. And then all of a sudden, this happened. Wow. And they had like, okay, now we've got to unpack our shit now.
Yeah.
Because we're not moving out. Okay. And they kept the band together.
Awesome. So, that's a beautiful story.
Do they play domestically at all?
I think they play some, yeah.
They're big.
Yeah, they're big. Okay. It's a three-piece kind of a, not shoegaze, but yeah, it's stoner rock.
It's okay. Awesome.
Kind of a Zeppelin-y type of thing going. Zeppelin and Sabbath.
Yeah, it does. Right.
It's melodic, but it's...
I even like touted them for a couple of times. I'm like,
yeah.
Check this out. This is awesome.
I've seen them a couple of times.
Never
and
heard of them.
They're very good. They're very full and very loud. And it's just good rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that when that whole thing happened to them, it just blew them away because out of nowhere, out of the blue, because of what we had played, there was some guy that just happened to be listening to us and they said, "Hey, I want to know more about this band," and next thing you know. And that was good for them. So you never know.
Sure.
That's right.
You never
know. And God knows we've had enough miracles happen to us, man. We do not question. We do not doubt.
You just got to keep kind of rolling.
You just got to keep your eyes on the prize. It comes down the pipe. It really does.
But, you know, we're ready to take this on the road here. We just need a little luck with the booking.
Yeah.
It's just really hard to get venues to even respond right now. So
it is. It's tough.
But we're ready to do it. We've got the vehicle. We've got the people. And we're prepared.
All the tools are in the box and you're ready to go with it.
Yes.
Maybe we can put something together. Let me grab a break here. We'll come back. I've got I'd Rather Go Blind lined up here.
Yeah.
We haven't played that one yet. And then maybe a couple more.
Everyone else has.
Uh-huh.
You know what they say. Never mind.
And then we'll get a couple of more tracks out of you live here. How's that?
All right.
Sure.
And then we'll put a fork in it.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with more here on the Booze and Blues, Radio Memphis. Now, Sunhouse says there is low society here on the Sunday night here in the Booze and Blues.
What
low society.
God.
Yeah, Doug, I blew the dust off of that one for you there, Sturgis. You're sitting there going, man, I realized how good
it is. Who is that?
Who is that? That sounds damn good.
It's good.
It's a great record. It's a great song.
I like that song.
It's good stuff. That sounds familiar. Yeah, that's it right there. You said there was something wrong with that guitar. I can't hear it.
The intonation is a little off. It needs a neck reset. It's been around the world one too many times.
One too many times. Well, it's not the years, it's the mileage, isn't it? Yeah.
It's just a slight intonation thing.
Yeah. Well, you got a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
It's a little better.
What year is that? This is not that old, right?
In terms of national guitars, this is not that old. This is an early 90s model.
Yeah.
Called a Delphi. They don't make these anymore. And it's a Canon. It really is, man. It's the loudest.
It is loud.
Thing, man.
Yes. Every time I've been in the presence of that thing, it's got to keep up with you, man. We don't need microphones when you come into the room.
You give her a microphone. I've got to have an amplifier.
Exactly. Even with that thing, I tell you what it is.
You got a little booze and blues? It's a little Ma Rainey from 1920.
Oh, yes, indeed.
In honor of the Booze and Blues radio show,
that's
right?
That's right.
Beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful. What a way to wrap it up for tonight.
Blues and Blues.
Blues and Blues. Low Society, ladies and gentlemen. Get the record from ScreamingBlues.com. It's called Sanctified. Add it to your collection. You'll be glad you did.
Get Sanctified.
Thank you so much.
Sanctified. It's always good to have you guys around.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Rick.
Fantastic.
Mark,
well, before we get into the commercial break, I'm going to play one more off the record, and it's Angel from Montgomery.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know.
Very nice.
I know that one's got a special little purpose.
Yeah. It does. You know, I used to actually play that with my cousin up in Montana back in the late 90s,
yeah.
Like 98, 99. And he taught me that song, but I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
And we didn't have, like, you know, anything up there on the side of the mountain in Montana. So he basically wouldn't let me hear the song on any short shape, form, or fashion, told me the melody, you know, played it for me, and was like, just do it, you know, dig in and pull it out, you know.
And there it was.
Like, it's not how you do it, but I have my own version now, you know, and I'm grateful today. So
there it is.
Exactly.
And Ted is a hell of a guy.
Ted Culp is a hell of a guy and a hell of a musician too. Yep. My cousin. God bless him.
There you go. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Rick.
You bet. Anytime. We'll see y'all a little bit later on. Here you go, Angel from Montgomery. It's Low Society from Sanctified here on the Booze and Blues. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.